I have two texts for you this morning. The first one is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But I want to take that verse in the context of James chapter 1 and verse 17. So I'll deal with both of them, but first with James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where the text says every good gift and every perfect gift, the word "and" there, as I've told you, I think, on a number of occasions, might be better translated by the word "even". Every good gift, even every perfect gift. That is to say, whatever God gives is a good gift, but it is also a perfect gift. I want to think this morning just a little bit about the gifts of God. But isn't it a tantalizing thought that James writes here under the inspiration of the Spirit that these gifts come down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights. And what is meant here is that he is the creator of the sun and of the moon, the planets and the stars, the constellations, that they are the lights referred to. The gift to this world of the sun is a gift with a massive input. And if you remember nothing else about this sermon today, except that gifts are intended for massive input, then we'll be all right. Without the sun, of course, we could not live. Without the sun, this world would freeze. Indeed, its very position, if it were not where it is, we'd either be burned up, or we would indeed freeze. All growth, in some ways, is affected by the sun. Photosynthesis, of course, the word "phos" means light in Greek, and that has to do with light and sunlight and that sort of growth. But behind the whole creation is this great gift of God, that he created this world in which we live, this unique world. There is no other like it. There are people out there in space, but they're in heaven or they're in hell. But there's no point in looking for them with any other thing in mind. But the Lord has created the sun, not that we should worship him, but that we should understand that he has the control and mediates it through this mighty, apparently self-existent sun. But it isn't self-existent, but it reflects a little of the self-existence of the Father. And he, the Father of lights, has placed the sun exactly that it might have this ongoing, mighty impact every day, all over the world. I speak not of the effects of the moon. I know nothing about the effects of the stars. The fact that they're named in Job suggests that they are more than ornaments, and that there is some capacity that they provide for the whole ongoing world, but I know nothing of that. But simply that by creating in the natural order the sun, most particularly, and the moon and the stars, the Lord has provided all that is constantly necessary, or perhaps not all, but that which lies behind, that which is constantly necessary for the sustenance, the keeping up of the life of mankind. That's the point of the reference to the Father of light, and also with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, of course, you know the words that the Lord spoke about this to Noah after the flood. The Lord smelled a sweet savour, this is Genesis 8:21, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. There is no variableness or shadow of turning with the Lord. And this is mediated to us in the constant round of the seasons and of day and night, which is also, of course, controlled by the movement of the earth around the sun and by the moon. So first of all then, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now I want you just to bear in mind that this no variableness, no shadow of turning applies to the other sorts of gifts that he gives as well. What he gives freely. And what he gives perpetually and consistently and powerfully. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Well now, let us think next of his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every perfect gift, every good gift is from above, and from the Father of lights. He doesn't change his mind, and he's given us the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, the Authorized Version translators were not to know that the word unspeakable was going to change its meaning. In my lifetime, the word gay has changed its meaning. When I was a boy, it was a lovely, light-hearted word to use. You could use it about anything that you'd enjoyed in a pleasurable sort of way. And you could use gay. You have no overtones, tones, whatever. But it has become annexed to a movement. To a movement who want everybody to think that their approach to life is the only light-hearted, happy one. And they've hijacked the word. And to use that word now is almost impossible in the old sense. Well, you understand that. And that's what's happened with unspeakable. Not for the same reason, but that's what happened. And of course the translators weren't to know that when we come to read, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, we always think of something as being unspeakably horrible, unspeakably nasty, unspeakably terrible. The Greek word actually literally means very nearly unspeakable, but you could describe it, and in the event they would have been better to have described it, as indescribable. Indescribable. It means, of course, as you can well see, something that you can't find words to explain, something that is too wonderful, something that is too marvelous to be able to put in any words that we can conjure up. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that unspeakable gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got a little something of the nature of this gift that is beyond our ability to describe, as we read in Luke chapter 1 this morning. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, overshadowed Mary. Did something quite unique. Implanted a seed of Godhead in the midst of Mary's womb. Not only that, but this particular seed, as I've suggested, guarded against any infiltration of Mary's sinfulness into the perfection of the child Jesus. This is beyond words to describe, isn't it? Here is a gift that is indescribable, indescribably wonderful, beyond anything we can describe, because it's beyond anything that we can conceive. It was conceived by God. And yet all this is for our salvation. All this is that there might be a God-man who has been before us in all our woes, in all our experiences, and has come to save his people from their sins and come to deliver them from death and from eternal death. Here is a perfect gift. And it comes from God, who is without variableness. He doesn't object. He hasn't changed his mind that he sent the Saviour to save all the people of the Lord. He hasn't changed his mind because terrible things happened at certain times in history since then. Still the Saviour is preached. He is the same loving, saving person of the Godhead that he always was. And not only concerning the things of his conception, begetting, and birth, but also the things of his growing up. I'm sure that from childhood, we feel that Jesus is so much more wonderful than we were. He never sinned as a child. He never sinned as a young boy. He never sinned as a teenager. Again, this is beyond us to take in. Oh yeah, we understand what we're saying, but the force of having a child, an infant, a boy, a young man who never sinned. And on the occasion when they wanted to rebuke him, it was the parents who were wrong. Wist thou not that I must be about my father's business? But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can scarce understand. And yet, this is absolutely fundamental to our salvation. In heaven, we have to be perfect. There is no place for an imperfect person, else the whole thing will happen again. Everything that enters heaven has to be made perfect. When? After we die. Is there going to be some wonderful change after we die? There is going to be a wonderful change after we die. Our souls will be reunited with our bodies. Our souls will be taken to glory in the first place, we believe. But as far as salvation is concerned, the change happens here. It happens now. the Lord Jesus became a child and grew up into a boy and a man in order to bear the sins of his people. And if those sins are not confessed to him and repented of, then we as individuals can't be saved. And we discover that way that we really aren't one of his people. For he died to save his people from their sins. And that, of course, he's not failed to do. So the Saviour is an indescribable gift to us in the sense that we can scarce imagine his perfections. But he's also an indescribable gift to us for his loveliness. How do you think the woman whose only son was raised from the dead out of his bier felt about Jesus? How do you think the boy felt who'd brought the loaves and the fishes to see Jesus deal with him so gently and then do what he did with those loaves and fishes? How do you think the two who were mad by the shores of Gennesaret felt at their relief? How do you think the woman felt who was paraded in the temple by all these wicked men and taken in the very act of adultery to meet such a kind acceptance and yet an authoritative one to forgive? Is there not here also an indescribable gift to us? Because here is one who, to undeserving sinners, comes across to deal with our sins. We get to know him as he deals with our sins. And as he deals with our sins, we get to know his kindness and his generosity and his gentleness, yet probing every part of our sin and every genuineness of our repentance at these things. They're too wonderful to describe. We don't read them anywhere else. They are just totally unique, and not everybody finds them. It is, of course, an unspeakable gift that the Lord has given us. And whether we think of the words that I shall refer to again this afternoon, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, or whether we think of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. The Saviour is a gift beyond taking in, beyond being able to express. And therefore, those who love him are, if you like, in awe of him. But they also are drawn by bonds of deep affection. For nobody has ever loved their soul like the Saviour has done. There's much more that could be said about the person of Christ being wonderful. Think of the time when he was able to pray and sweat drops of blood. The time when he was 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. Think of his privations, his sorrows. And yet he endured more than most of us endured. We sometimes talk about having a low or a high pain threshold. But when the Lord Jesus bore our sins on the cross, he would have borne more pain and more agony than any of us. And here, in this indescribable gift, we have the one who was able to bear on Calvary, in a way that we can't describe or quantify, the sins of all his people. We do not know whether he thought of each person individually, rapidly as he was on the cross, whether feeling so ill he was able to do that. or whether he prepared himself and died on the cross. We just don't know. We don't know the transactions upon Calvary, but we do know that he offered there to his Father a personal satisfaction for the sins of every one of us. And this is worth more than words can find to us. But this is what he did on Calvary. Took each one of our sins and everybody else who's to be saved, entering into them, bearing the guilt of them, and of course the punishment on Calvary. Now that he's raised from the dead and lives to make intercession for us as our great high priest, what a wonderful thing that is, that the Holy Spirit brings our prayers. I don't understand that either. With groanings that cannot be uttered, I always interpret that as meaning it's such a superhuman Holy Spirit effort to get the way in which our prayers are expressed up to the standard to bring before the Lord Jesus, that there need to be groanings that cannot be uttered. Whether that's the right interpretation, I have no idea. But the Saviour directs and perfects each one of our lives, answering our prayers, changing things, weaving things into our experience, so that we are all brought to a perfect man, the fullness of the stature of the person of Christ. These things are too wonderful for words, and words don't adequately prevail to stir our minds. But we know these things are so, and we worship the Lord for them. Now, to a believer, there are many other good and perfect gifts from God. The gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are things that come down from on high. These are gifts from the Father of lights, the same Father who gives a massive, massive input through the Son, the same Father who gives a massive, massive input through the Son of righteousness, the Lord Jesus, into each of our lives. And now, because we have freely received and we are freely to give, he gives a massive, massive input that we shall then pass on and share with his brethren and with others. I haven't time to run through the whole list, but let's take some of them. This I command you, that you love one another. The gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy and peace. But love, the love we've experienced from the Saviour, we pass on to others. The gift to us of his love is a gift that we might make available vast resources to others. It's a vast input from God. This time not mediated to the sun and the moon. This time beginning with the Saviour, but then mediated through people like ourselves, that we shall be the source of a massive input of the things that are good and pure and true and noble and of good report. The gifts which are given us, they are given. We didn't earn them. We receive them freely. And they come from the Father of lights. And they are designed to have a massive effect on our brethren round about and upon the world, in as far as we ourselves as individuals impinge upon different people and different events. So the gifts of love and of joy have massive repercussions, can start off in others' lives a series of events that will spread out like ripples and benefit so many. But all gifts are designed for this end, that the gifts of God in Christ might be that we might bring to places of the world where we reach a massive import of the things of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I didn't want to tax you on a Christmas day any more than any other Lord's Day, really. But there's not only the gifts by which the Lord, the Father of lights, has given massive, massive benefits to the world, the sun and the moon and the stars, and through the Saviour, incalculable, continuing massive benefits, and through the gifts of the Spirit, the massive, massive benefits that can flow through us. But everybody, even unbelievers, have talents. What we sometimes call gifts, what we sometimes call talents. And our natural abilities are also designed by our great and gracious God to bring massive input to bear on one another's lives. Natural gifts. Look at the natural gifts of a surgeon or a research doctor or of an anaesthetist. Think of how people are benefited on a massive scale from what God has given to certain individuals to be able to learn and retain concerning medicine. Or consider what people have stood to gain through the great discoverers, whether it be discoverers who've travelled or whether it be discoverers who've discovered things that weren't known before. What a wonderful thing it is. I've often thought to myself since my heart attack, as I'm sure I've shared with you from time to time, how the heart and the brain works by electrical charges. As did Adam's and Eve's heart and brain and everybody else since. But when was electricity discovered? You don't actually have to understand these things in order to continue in life. What a terrible mess it would be if we couldn't continue in life if we didn't pass our exam in electricity by the time we were five. I mean, it just is a nonsense. But there are wonderful gifts, wonderful things of God's order that He has given talents and gifts to men to discover, that everybody benefits from in a large scale and in a massive sort of way. Because I can't do anything with my hands, I admire very much those who can work with wood. Carpenter as Jesus was. People who can make things, like Randall made these pews. Like others that we know well in this church, who do make things with wood and make it very well. These are, if you like, lesser gifts than the great ones we've been thinking about, but they are designed to have a massive impact in some way or another, brightening the lives, helping the state of the numbers of people that we as individuals, even in a natural way, even as unbelievers, can reach out to. And we see by these things that we owe it to the Lord's way of proceeding that we are interdependent. This is the way the Lord has chosen, to give great gifts that bring massive advantages, channel through the Son, above all the spiritual things that pertain to everlasting life, through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the gifts that believers have in the power of the Spirit, that they are able to bring massive light and massive help and a massive encouragement to others who they come into contact with through these things that God has given them, and even our natural abilities and talents. How wonderful it is. How wonderful we can affect people. How wonderful we can bring light into their lives too, and things that they will always themselves appreciate. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And the greatest of these gifts is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Saviour. But every gift, we should praise him for the things that we ourselves can do, the things that we ourselves recognise we have natural gifts for, the things that being saved we can exercise in the power of the Spirit. But may the Lord make us those who worship our God and our Saviour by the Spirit because of his great generosity. We love him because he first loved us. Freely have we received. Freely let us give. Amen.